In about 2 months, many of us will be gathered around our Thanksgiving table, hopefully with our families, enjoying a tasty meal of turkey, pumpkin pie, and all the trimmings. Will it just be the day we give thanks? Or will we have an attitude that we want to give thanks to the Lord every day between now and then? Some of you will be rejoicing that the semester will just about be over. Some of you will cry because you won't see your girlfriend for 20 days. Then, of course, some guys cry because they don't have a girlfriend, but that's a topic for Mr. Duncan to deal with you in a counseling session. Okay, seriously. When Dr. A mentioned this year's theme to our administrative committee back in the summer of servants who give thanks, my mind immediately went to a passage, and I'd like for you to turn with me there to Luke chapter 17. As Dr. Luke begins this chapter, it's a familiar scene. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He stresses forgiveness. He talks about having faith of a mustard seed. And then he declares in verse 10, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." I'd like to direct our attention to verse 11. And this morning, I have four thoughts that I'd like to share with you. Verse 11. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" The four thoughts I'd like to develop this morning. The first one is the daily routine. The daily routine. It's often that we see Jesus having the occasion to travel. He's frequently going back and forth to Jerusalem, which from where Galilee is, it's in the northern part. Traveling to Jerusalem back and forth. It's commonly found in the New Testament Gospels. It was just part of what he did. I want to ask you, when you were a kid on a trip, were you the one in the back seat going, "Are we there yet?" And then another 30 seconds later, "Are we there yet?" Do we complain? Are we impatient on this journey of life? Maybe a better thing rather than complaining is, "Lord, who do you want me to intersect with while I'm traveling? As I'm going down this road, and sure, I'm busy. I got this to do. I got that to do. But clearly there are people for us to intersect. There are needs for us to address just like Jesus did." Because again, the routine of his commute is he was constantly with people. And notice his regular practice that we're going to talk about, that he was always ministering. A familiar passage we know in Luke chapter 8. Jesus returned after healing a demon-possessed man in the country of the Gadarenes. As he arrives back, here's Jairus waiting for him saying, "Please, come heal my daughter." You think Jesus would say, "Okay, let me catch my breath here." But as he is going, as he is traveling to go to Jairus' house, who comes but this woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, and she's like, "I need healed." Interrupted again. But Jesus is always ministering. So the question I have for you, for me, are we daily, as our routine allows, are we daily seeing the needs around us, or do we ignore them? Notice the opportunity that presents itself. As he arrives at this village, it's what the passage tells us, came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through, again, just a common area, common road that he would travel. Verse 12, as he entered into a certain village. As he arrives there, we see these lepers. Actually, we have to look at a distance. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They followed the social expectations. They were not permitted among the general population. I know it seems like in Scripture we read frequently about people having leprosy, Old Testament and New Testament. But we understand they were highly contagious. They had to stay back. I think it's really sad not having the contact with the family. Not having the human touch, because the fear would be, ooh, I could get leprosy. But here they are again with the social expectations. They're standing afar off, and then notice they lift their voices. They yelled in order to be heard by Jesus. Now, obviously, Jesus hears, just like he always hears us. But here they are standing afar off, and as they lift up their voices, they appeal to Jesus' compassion. Notice verse 12. As the lepers are there standing afar off, verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Is Jesus going to walk down an alley and avoid these guys? Or is he going to reach out and help them? Does that story sound somewhat familiar to you? Jesus taught in Luke 10 about the Good Samaritan. And I know you're familiar with the story. Here comes the priest. He's coming down the road. He sees this beaten up guy and he's like, I don't have time. He walks around the other side of the road. Then here comes the Levite, similar story. But then as scripture tells us, Luke 10, Jesus said, here came this Good Samaritan. This man's beaten up. The Good Samaritan comes over where he is and helps him with his wounds, puts him on his own donkey, takes him to the inn. He pulls out money. I know it's shekels, but he pulls out money and says, if I owe you any more, I'll pay you and I'll return. Then, of course, Jesus asks that penetrating question, so now who's your neighbor? But do we do that? Do we see a need and we're like, you know, I don't have time. We put the hat on, we put the blinders, we can't see, right? And we're like, look, I got a report to do. I got some phone calls to return. I got some emails to do. I got to study for an exam. I don't have time for this. Do we put our spiritual hat on, keep our head down, and say, I don't see anything? Of course, that's probably half the reason we end up tripping is we don't see. But Jesus reached to them where they were. And with their appeal of Jesus, have mercy on us, their request. To have mercy on us in its root meaning, to succor, to help when afflicted, or seeking aid. Another story, again, my mind went there, and I just like to read it. You don't have to turn there. Mark chapter 10, verse 44, a man we recognize, Bartimaeus. Jesus was trying to settle the dispute among the disciples of whom should be the greatest. And he says in verse 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest will be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, Jesus and the disciples. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. It's what beggars could do. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him he should hold his peace. It's like, quiet down, dude. Shh, shh. Jesus is dealing with important people over here. So what does Bartimaeus do? But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still. I love that phrase. He stopped. He stops for us. He listens. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and he called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Man, when the Lord calls us, isn't that wonderful? And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou should do unto thee? The blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Have mercy on us. A familiar phrase, but one that we need. Notice in verse 14 now the directions that are rendered. Verse 14. And when he saw them, the 10 lepers, Jesus said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So in these directions that are rendered, notice right away, verse 14, when Jesus saw them, he went down the alley and ran away, right? He saw them, he said unto them, he approached them, he addressed them, go show yourselves unto the priest. So he told him, I want you to personally follow the Old Testament law. In fact, it's right here, the part, and they would recognize that. Go show yourselves unto the priests, as Moses commanded, even though the phrase isn't there in Leviticus 13, that's what Moses had told them to do. When you are healed of the leprosy, you're to go to the priest to show that you are healed. And it came to pass, notice, here's their physical healing from their obedience in the middle of verse 14. And it came to pass that, for the purpose, as they went, as they obeyed, they were cleansed. Isn't that a great passage? It wasn't like they stood there saying, well, you know, maybe I'll change my mind. Maybe I'm just not going to do that. But as they went, as they exhibited their faith, their obedience, as they showed, Jesus said they were cleansed. Now, appropriate technique from Bible study methods that we teach in observation, and Dr. Carfrey's impressed me to really think of this as you look at a passage. What kind of cleansing? When you see this phrase, they were cleansed, to ask, what kind of cleansing? What literally means to cleanse by healing, or simple phrase, physical healing that the Lord had cleansed them. Eight times this Greek word, I know we see it in English as cleansed, eight times this word was translated cleansing from leprosy in the New Testament. Obviously, all those are in the New Testament Gospels. One of those is in Luke 4:27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, same word, saving Naaman the Syrian. So here's a foreigner. We got some foreshadowing that we're coming to. Here's someone that wasn't a Jewish person, but how he was cleansed from his leprosy. Eight other times this Greek word is translated just as cleansed, like 1 John 1:7, we recognize. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us, or literally keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And then two verses below that, trust you know that one as well by heart. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So it's interesting. I found in preparation for this message, Charles Brown in his newsletter dated June 1990 suggests nine responses of why or reasons why the nine did not return back to Jesus. And again, I know you know the passage. We'll see it in just a moment. One waited to see if the cure was real. Another waited to see if it would last. Another said, he would see Jesus later. One decided maybe he never had leprosy to begin with. One said, well, he would have gotten well anyway with time. One gave glory to the priests. One said, oh, well, Jesus really didn't do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done that. One said, hey, I was already much improved. I could tell. But let's consider the 10th leper. And I know this is one that we already recognize, as we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. And one of them, what I'm calling the delighted leper, one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And Luke adds the phrase, and he was a Samaritan. So several thoughts, this delighted leper. One of them, not the other nine, he saw he was physically healed. It's right there in the passage. He came back to Jesus. He turned back, as we're told in the verse, and he praised God with a loud voice. Now we'll come in as, again, in preparation for this, I thought, it's easy for we as extroverts, and I am one, I'm going to let you know what I'm thinking because I tell you, I think on the outside. And for those of you that are introverts, you just sort of put up with us extroverts talking. It's a good thing we're not all extroverts because nobody would ever listen, right? But as an extrovert, I know it's easy to thank the Lord and be visible and be on the outside, be outward with our expression, with our loud voice. But as I meditated on this, what if you're an introvert today? What if you're one that thinks on the inside and you dwell on it and then you come back with a great response? I know, I should learn from that. I'm trying. Not there yet. But the fact that he praised God with a loud voice, here's my challenge. I think as he worshiped at Jesus' feet, it should be evident. It should be outward and it should be focused on the Lord because this delighted leper knew exactly where to go. He worshiped at Jesus' feet because, at verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet. He's publicly worshiping. And I challenge you, nothing more evident than publicly worshiping at Jesus' feet, extrovert or introvert. People should know it is Jesus whom we worship. It is he whom we acknowledge the worth of. I don't know who to give credit for, but I heard at Word of Life, Bible Institute, back in the 80s. It's been so long, I can't remember. But it really struck me. I don't care how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when your feet hit the ground. Because some of us are wired to go, oh, that's good news. Thank you. You just want a trip to Disney World. Okay, great. Thank you. Some others will be going, woohoo! Disney World! Yeah, let's go! That's an extrovert response, just in case you didn't recognize the difference. Okay? I don't care how high you jump. Some may be like, but some jump as high as you can, and that's not my purpose this morning. But it should be evident how straight we walk when our feet hit the ground. Chew on that, please. And notice, as Dr. Luke includes for us, oh yeah, I did want to say, hashtag serve the Lord publicly, and just as importantly, hashtag serve the Lord privately, because it should be evident. Now, if you're here this morning as faculty member and you don't understand the hashtag, it's okay. What's after the hashtag is important, okay? Serve the Lord publicly, serve the Lord privately. All right. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't a thoroughbred, as Jesus proclaimed even to a Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15:24. She was a Gentile. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yet Jesus reached and met her need. Jesus did it again here for the Samaritan leper. Now I'm confident that you're aware in your Bible understanding a Samaritan was a half Jew and a half Gentile. They really didn't fit in with either group. Yet Jesus loved and he healed. And our last thought we're going to develop is he directed attention, verses 17 through 19. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save or except this stranger, this foreigner. And Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So the obvious question, weren't there some others here? Weren't there 9 other people beyond you? Hello? Where are the 10? Do you ever reflect on the Lord's grace in your life? You know, Ken Ham can write about already gone or already compromised, how that even as small children, they're sitting in church, but they're already checked out. Do you ever thank God for his grace, for his mercy in your life? You know, I don't know about your siblings. You could be an only child today. You could have siblings. Some of you have siblings here. That's great. But I just use that as evidence in your own life, your own heart. Do you thank the Lord for his mercy, for his grace in being kind to you? You'd say, but why didn't the 9 stay? Why didn't they appreciate? Here's the outward expression. As far as to give glory to God, as Jesus said, no one was found except this stranger, this foreigner, this alien. But notice, then his obedience is rewarded. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So back to a Dr. Carfrey question again, an observation. What kind of being made whole? It's spiritual healing, it's salvation. To preserve one who's in danger of destruction, to save. So here's a point I want to make sure we don't miss, an application. If you focus directly and specifically on the Lord, He will never disappoint or disillusion you. Now, you probably already found out in your life, man will disappoint you. He will. But Jesus never fails. And in this case of this spiritual healing, salvation came to this leper. That's why he obviously was delighted. So our two final thoughts today that we're going to look at. Here's our so what bridge. I'm going to help you out as you have the blanks. Here are two thoughts. You may have another one you want to develop, and that's perfectly fine. Are you looking for opportunities to minister, or, I purposely held back, or are you looking for an alley to escape? Say, dude, I'm going to put my hat on. I don't care. I'm not going to pay any attention. I don't see anything. I got a paper to do. I got an exam to study for. And I can't go into a Dr. Penner class and say, well, Dr. Penner, I was up late helping this guy and I didn't study for my exam. Should have studied for your exam before the night before, but it's a different point. Are we looking for opportunities to minister, or are we looking for an alley to escape? Secondly, how is it evident you are outwardly giving thanks to the Lord? Are we doing that? This delighted leper worshiped at Jesus' feet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to see with your eyes those around us with needs. May we not be so eager to pull our hats down over our eyes or put up blinders that we ignore others. May we engage and embrace. It's clear Jesus, in many passages, took children up in his arms. He touched the blind man. He physically was with them. Lord, may we engage, embrace, not shy away or shun those that need our eternal message of hope and forgiveness from their leprosy of sinfulness. Secondly, Lord, help each of us to outwardly, deliberately, expressedly in our own personalities, worship you to acknowledge your worth. Whether we shout with a loud voice or softly, gently convince others of the indwelling Spirit of God in our lives, may we worship at your feet today. Thank you for saving us from our spiritual leprosy. May we always be grateful and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.